This is an encore presentation. If you like it, listen live on Saturday at 8 in the morning, Soul Sanctuary. The views on this program are solely those of the host and his or her guests and do not reflect those of KZSM Radio, SMTXCRA, or its governing body.
Good morning, Soul Sanctuary soldiers. You're here with Soul Sanctuary. I'm Atika, and we're here with Casey. We're checking in with her today. Hey, Casey.
Hi.
I have this huge notion or pulling to invite Casey to come into the studio with me today, and I don't know from whence it came. I just didn't question it and went right with it. She said yes, and so she's here. We're going to talk about probably a whole plethora of things. We're just getting here kind of really into 2019. So as we start off, kind of looking at things from a soul perspective, from a fulfillment perspective kind of thing, what's different for you, Casey, this year than it was last year?
Oh, man. I've been trying to work on a lot of things, especially not answering to things or people that really don't need my attention. Trying not to feel the burden of things that really don't matter as much as they did last year.
Gotcha. So more about quality.
Yes.
Versus quantity.
Definitely.
That's big for me, actually. Yeah. Just because sometimes when there's a lot, it feels like more is happening, but there could be a whole lot of nonsense.
Exactly.
I think that's a great focus to have for 2019. I was listening to, there's a couple of podcasts I've listened to where people have picked a word of the year, and I was trying to figure out what my word of the year for 2019 should be.
Yeah.
And I couldn't come up with one, so maybe it should be commitment.
Make up a whole new word.
There you go. Oh, there you go. That's right. I'll just make it up and then go kind of move on from there. What else is unique about 2019? This is the year of the pig. And actually, after the show today, I'm going to go up to Chinatown in Austin for the Chinese New Year celebration. It actually started on the 5th, but it continues now. And it's going from the year of the dog, which is about loyalty, to the year of the pig.
Okay.
And the year of the pig is about rooting up. You know how pigs find truffles?
Yeah.
So it's about rooting up your gems, your jewels, your hidden value.
I didn't know about that.
Isn't that cool?
That's really cool.
Well, I looked and saw that it was going to be the year of the pig, and then I was like, pig. Because we don't have a lot of good associations with pig. I was like, what does that mean? It's going to be a dirty year?
Yeah.
Eating garbage and human bones kind of year? But no. That's not where it is. It's actually about finding hidden talents. And so maybe one of the reasons I was drawn to have you come on the show was because I know that last year you took on at least two new projects, right?
Yeah, probably more than I can count, actually.
Right. Towards the end of the year, you kind of got into just new projects. So did your schedule loosen up so you had more time for these things? Or you're just drawn to some new energy?
I mean, I think it all just kind of fell into place. Like, I didn't plan to take on these things right now. Mm-hmm. I started taking over the monthly Martindale market out in Martindale. And that's kind of like a craft fair / farmer's market.
Right.
And then I started becoming a librarian also out of nowhere. I mean, I think really things just kind of started coming together with that. And it was a direction that seemed beneficial, that I could do something for the community and try to bring people together with not an overwhelming amount of effort, but just enough that I still had time for it at this point in my life.
Sure, sure. The library is really some of the life force there in Martindale, I know.
Definitely.
When I started doing story time there, it was at a time when I needed to be out of the house. My eyes were going cross. I was so, because we live out in the country, and so when you do, it can be isolating, right?
Yeah.
And so I kind of had this, Miss Carol's a great librarian, and she kind of runs the thing, and she asked that I kind of commit to hanging out with and developing and doing story time for the pre-Ks.
Yeah.
And that gave me some purpose, something to start wrapping and organizing purpose around, which was really good for me at that time. I try to remember to thank her more for that, because it's been a couple of years now. But it really can add some texture to what was kind of losing contrast in and around me.
Absolutely one of the highlights of my week is right after pre-K, like, every Thursday and Friday, I just have some version of the Alphabet song stuck in my head, or the Bubble song or something. I'm just like, oh my God, it's still here, but it's so cute.
Our little favorites. Yeah. And actually, we had some breakthroughs this year, because the kiddos were, while they usually like flap their hands trying to do American Sign Language while I'm doing the ABCs, like last week and this week, they've actually been identifying and making the words, right?
Yeah.
The letters.
And they're really like taking the time to work on it and not just kind of go with it.
Right. And figure it out. And if they don't get one, they get a little bit frustrated. Like they're really trying to do it.
I know.
I'm not sure what's happened. Like some energies change, or they're used to it enough to say, okay, now I can actually start doing this. It's great. Watching the little minds grow is
And they're amazing. Like 3 and 4 years old. Right. It's crazy to me.
That's right. That's right. And they don't. And the other thing about like staring at kiddos is the fearlessness. Like when you look at kids, sometimes it can be a little bit morose, I think, because you look at all the energy and all the innocence, and you're like, that don't last.
Hold on to that for a while.
Keep that as long as you can. Yeah, because we know like somewhere, what is it, around 8 or 9, where you start having reports due, I guess, is when it starts with the adulting, you know, it starts with coming away from that big, beautiful, bashful eyes, those big eyes, and thumper kind of expression on your face, and it goes more into now what's expected of you.
Yeah, I've been really appreciating. I've seen a lot of posts lately about people recognizing that right around like 9 to 11, especially with girls, they start getting like really mystical and like into spy stuff, and like they want to be cool but not too cool. It's not cool for you, it's cool for them.
Right.
And I love that people are actually recognizing that now, like, oh, they're not just being weird, that's just their thing that they can do because they're figuring out themselves.
Right, that's where that is. And poor boys, they have all that emotional whatever craziness we do to them on their way up. And in those, when you're preteen into puberty, like you have a whole lot of emotions coming up, and these poor kiddos just told to stuff them and
I know.
and shamed for whatever emotion might happen to come up.
Yeah.
For like 10 years. And then in their 20s, whenever they have their long-term girlfriends, they're always like, "Hey, where's your emotion?" I don't know how they like we get through with less psychotic men.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's kind of crazy how much they're told and guided with how they feel and how to express themselves and things. I notice when I see like when I'm out at a party or whatever, or just around family and friends, and the way that men kind of encourage my boys to act.
Yeah.
You know, outside of my teaching, husband's teaching, but kind of the energy that they're given from other people. I'm like, oh, that's weird. We don't actually do that. You know? Yeah. Somebody was telling my little 4-year-old, "Hey, show me your muscles." And he just like kind of looked at
him. Like, what muscles?
What do you mean? They're all muscles. He's like, they're from my head to my toes. It's like, right. And it's right. But like, we just don't actually participate that much in that kind of, I don't know that it's a bad thing. It's just not part of how we're rearing them. It really does. Having male children, or having opposite sex children, I think it happens to men when they have daughters too, really makes you take a look at what messages we send all the time in society. All the time. I know I took a class on becoming a volunteer at the women's shelter, and we talked about like what kind of words kind of go into the culture being a little bit less caring about women, or seeing women as more objects than people. And the language is so interwoven, it's so deep in our psyche, it comes out all the time, even in ads, even in commercials, even in passing conversations. Hey, how are you doing? And whether or not you're going to tell somebody that they look nice. It's kind of deep and interwoven, and I'm not sure that we're able to, that's something we can pick out.
Yeah, well, and even sometimes when it's well meant, people just don't even Absolutely. Realize what they're talking about or Absolutely. How it sounds or comes across, because it's just something they've heard every day.
That, right, every day. And the fact that people, that doesn't like present contrast, it really does make a difference. I know one of the things that I kind of compare it to is when I was first pregnant, my midwife told me, she's like, you know, be careful who you speak with about being pregnant, because people will tell you the most awful stories. And I was, I never noticed that happening before, and I that hadn't been my experience, and she was right. And so when you tell people, when you know, mention, oh yeah, I'm gonna have a baby, people be like, oh well, my niece's cousin had the worst, oh, and they will God. Tell you the most horrific things, which can imprint in you if you let it.
Yeah,
like your job is to let it roll off of you like a duck.
Yes.
Water off a duck. So you don't take it in and expect that to be your experience. But it was so interesting, because with the energy that the people gave when they were doing this, they weren't trying to be malicious. The problem is they thought they were helping
somehow.
So, right. So they had all kinds of energy and detail for you, and gore. And just as nicely as you can, you just have to turn it around. It's like, oh, okay, well, thanks for sharing. That's not going to be my experience. That's what I'm looking to for my experience.
Yeah.
How much we inadvertently kind of put people on their back foot.
Yeah.
Is a study in and of itself. But that, like I said, when you have kiddos at all, I think it starts making you consider how you carried yourself and how the rest of the world carries themselves. And then how you want to change to carry yourself so it fits into the narrative of more of what kind of parent you want to be and what kind of world you want to leave for your kiddos.
Yeah.
I know we have about probably 20 years between
us. Probably.
I Somewhat. Hate that there's things that happened 20 years ago that I was an adult then still.
Right?
It's something to start kind of accepting that. And so maybe some of what we'll do this hour is kind of talk about that gap, you know, like how you see it.
Yeah.
Versus my experience, because there's two decades, there's, you know, a generation in between those. And so, like, where, like, even as we're talking about the kind of language that we have and that we use here about even the patriarchy, is different.
Yeah.
20 years later.
Yeah.
The cartoons you watched and, you know, what you were exposed to and what you had access to was vastly different. And then when you look at my kiddos here, another 20 years later, wow.
I think they've got the good cartoons for sure.
Maybe, I don't know. Smurfs were amazing.
Well, yeah, you're right.
Maybe, though. Maybe they've definitely got the art style down is much more beautiful.
They've got Paw Patrol now. I mean, Paw Patrol's pretty great. Can't get past Paw Patrol.
And I actually love Superwise, really great.
Yes.
Like, I don't remember a program working that hard to teach us to read. I mean, we had Sesame Street.
Reading Rainbow, Reading Between Rainbow. The Lions.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah.
So we had a couple, but I don't know. That Superwise is pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, we'll jump into that on the other side. We're going to go into our first break here on Soul Sanctuary. You guys are listening to Soul Sanctuary on KZSM. We'll see you on the other side of the break.
Someday, when I'm awfully low, when the world is cold, I will feel a glow just thinking of you and the way you look tonight.
Oh, but you're lovely with your smile so warm and your cheek so soft. There is nothing for me but to love you just the way you look tonight. Thank you. that laugh that wrinkles your nose touches my foolish heart. Lovely, never, never change.
Keep that breathless charm.
Won't you please arrange it? 'Cause I love you just the way you look tonight. With each word your tenderness grows, tearing my fear apart.
And that laugh that wrinkles your nose touches my foolish heart.
Breathless charm. Won't you please arrange it? 'Cause I love you just the way you look tonight. Just the way.
Slipping right back into Soul Sanctuary, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to us through the break. And then we had a little bit of Tony Bennett with The Way You Look Tonight. One of my favorite, I guess it's called Standards. The older
classic
songs, things. And we're hanging out and talking to Casey. We're just chilling today, kind of getting into a couple of things. One of the projects that Casey took on last year was the Martindale Market. And so that's a monthly farmer's market.
Yeah.
One of the cool things about it is sometimes it's inside. Last month and this month it will be, right?
Yes, definitely.
So what did you find surprising about taking on that project? So it's been a couple, how long has it been that you've been doing it?
I think the first one was last September.
Okay. And so what is the most surprising thing about taking on that project?
Probably just the unpredictability of every event. Like, I don't know, you can plan out the date, you can pick a location, you can get tons of vendors involved, and you can advertise everywhere you could ever think of, and then the day of, the weather's bad, or something happens, or you find out there's five other events going on somewhere on the same day.
Right, right.
And then, you know, you never know what's gonna turn up.
Yeah, I've only been on the vending side of farmers markets and even the metaphysical fair. I haven't taken on the role of organizing at all. Only because, for me, the reason I didn't is because I wasn't blessed with a whole lot of patience. And I would imagine that it takes some to deal with, just because of what I have been aware of that the organizers have had to deal with.
Yeah.
I would imagine it takes Herculean patience. And I don't have one fraction of that.
It definitely does.
Yeah.
I mean, I worked in a newspaper before this, so I kind of already had experience with being the youngest face around and people not really taking you seriously. I'm 20 now.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But I still look like I'm like 13.
Yes.
So I tend to, with all the correspondence and everything, especially for new vendors, I keep everything with like, oh, we are doing this, we as the organizers, blah, blah, blah. And I never say like, I myself am making all of your decisions.
Right.
And it's always funny, like, especially for somehow always older guys that are vendors, whenever they figure out that I'm the one coordinating it the day of, they're like, oh, okay, And, like, they can't say anything because they already know I've coordinated all of it. But I can tell they're just like, is this really who's doing this right now?
I completely relate. I became a supervisor when I was in my early 20s. And I would have older gentlemen who would be on my team. And getting them to take me seriously was difficult. And the tactics I ended up using were always surprising. Like, if I just kept my center of gravity low, like if I wasn't trying to stand up so that I wasn't competing with them for height.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, spoke more slowly and more deliberately, and I tried not to go off path and, you know, flit around too much with my conversation, not be too flowery.
Yeah.
But it was interesting. I mean, I'm pretty good at spinning and responding in tough situations, but the tactics I chose that seemed to be effective with them, those surprised me, actually.
Yeah.
And I guess, and the idea that, I don't know, that there had to be a different kind of dance that happened. It's like, what?
Yeah, it's unexpected for me, because, I don't know, I forget that I'm younger than everyone.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, I guess they just don't expect somebody to be doing it that's my age, but I,
Have you had any challenges where it doesn't ever click? Like, there's not an acceptance of your authority?
I think probably I've had several vendors that have come through and like not come back, and that happens with every market because people just figure out they have a different place they want to go and stuff like that,
right.
But I think there's definitely been a couple cases of that where no matter how accommodating I was trying to be or anything like that, they just didn't want to do that. So.
Yeah, and when you're in charge of it, like, the amount of accommodation that you're going to make is up to you. And then understanding that as you make this accommodation, you're setting a precedent.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
Right.
And this market started with one woman in charge, and then someone else took it over. Mm-hmm. She ran it for about 2 or 3 years probably, and then someone else took it over, but it's never had like a real schedule. They always tried to keep it to like fourth Saturday or something, but
right.
with weather and things like that and just holidays in general, it right. got kind of wonky.
Mm-hmm.
And I've come in and tried to make it like fourth Fridays and tried things like that because vendors don't like doing Saturdays, and that started working. But when I came in, you know, you read through all the rules and things that people have set up before you, and it just sounds really strict, and you're like, oh, man, why would they have to be like this?
Yeah.
And then the more you're into it, the more like, well, yeah, we really need to go back into that, maybe make this even make more strict.
And that one makes sense, and that one makes sense, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So I'm trying to keep a balance. Now, I think I'm finding a good position of sounding pretty authoritative, but...
Yeah.
Still, like, making it sound like I'm giving them an allowance when they can't meet restrictions and things like that.
Right.
And that I'm, I don't know, I'm trying to be accommodating without people stepping all over everything.
Right.
So.
It's like the story of my life. That's like,
yeah.
That's where you want to be, like, right in the middle.
Yeah. Well, and it's hard because, like, you'll send emails and think everybody's got everything, and then somebody will reply and be like, asking for the same information you just gave them, and then like 10 minutes later they'll be like, oh, never mind, I actually read the email. And I'm just like, okay. So I kind of give people a little bit of time to go through and maybe figure out that they already had everything and
right.
stuff like that.
Right. It does have to do a lot with soft skills and kind of the customer service aspect of it.
Yeah.
When I used to monitor the calls, I got some pet peeve phrases that are only created to shame the other person. Like I said, that phrase never means anything but you're wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's never said in any caring way. There's no love in it.
I feel like per my last email is also
that's a gentle way. Right? That's a gentle way to say, I did this already and you're in my face.
Yeah. Yeah, it's surprising. It really is like a 24/7 thing a lot if you let it be. I try not to let it be now,
right.
but... You really have just all hours of the day, up to the day of and beyond. People are
and to the day, right. And also, like, people's not coming through and not letting you know mm-hmm. with enough time that
yeah.
they're not going to be there. Because if you know 2 days ahead of time or a day ahead of time, you can go down the list of people who are waiting.
Yeah.
And keep your place filled. And I don't think that I'm not sure if it's just part of the vendor culture or not, mm-hmm. because I've only been in it for about 2 years. And I haven't done any events in San Antonio. I have been up in Austin.
Yeah.
But it does feel like there's like this kind of, it's kind of interesting, like this carny kind of energy that comes along with us.
It's kind of surprising with some vendors because you can tell which ones have like just started or they're trying really hard or they've been in it for a long time and just kind of know how the deal goes. But mm-hmm. some people come in and it just kind of seems like they're like, well, I can probably make money with this thing. And then they just expect to show up with no effort on their part, no pictures or anything of their stuff and just be like, well, I'm here, pay me.
Right.
And that's not how it works.
At all.
You know?
Yeah.
I had somebody last month, they, I sent in the email, I'll say like, you know, send me your business name, a product description, and a price range. Mm-hmm. And they email me back just with what's a price range. And mm-hmm. they already have like high quality pictures of their stuff and everything. I know they've been a vendor for a long time. I'm like, what do you mean?
Where's the other stuff?
Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, that's.
With some of it, I guess, because I never expected tarot to be something that people would do at a market anyway.
I think you're the coolest vendor ever, honestly.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I do. But like, because I never had the expectation that would even work, the cool thing about that is it kind of leaves me like way wide open. Like, however it goes, if it's a great night or if it's a terrible night, I never had the expectation that this is going to, like, I'm not at a farmer's market with fruit thinking, all right, this is going to be great.
Yeah.
That's never
Well, and you can definitely tell with some people, like, they expect to show up and sell all of their stuff instantly within, like, the first hour, and that's how it's going to be, and you can't rely on that.
You can't. You know? I mean, unless it's coffee or tamales. Tamales tend to go pretty fantastic here.
Yeah.
In our area, we all want them, and we're all showing up too hungry at the places.
Exactly.
But you're right. Like, that's not how that is. I wonder if there could be, like, we could create some kind of a welcome package and, like, do's and don'ts, what to expect versus what to not expect. That might be fun. Something to work on to get people, like, kind of started and into it.
Yeah.
But I like the family aspect. There's always, vendors tend to take care of each other. Like, if you need a clip for your sign or liquid chalk or whatever.
Yeah.
We all seem to, like, reach out and take care of each other, help older people put up their tents, and help single people do whatever they're doing.
And I love that because that's kind of the whole point of having it in general, is you want to create a community and that you want to bring people out and bring them together.
That's got to be my favorite part of it.
Yeah.
Well, there's a couple of things. We have a really loud siren, and our door's open today, so we're going into a break, so you don't have to listen to that. And we'll meet you guys on the other side of the break. You're listening to Soul Sanctuary.
This is an encore presentation. If you like it, listen live on Saturday at 8 in the morning. Soul Sanctuary.
Thanks so much. You're still here with us on the other side of our last break. We were talking about how the doors open, so there's a little bit more like outside noise today, and that's just because the floors were done, and so it's a little bit noxious in here. We want to be able to breathe on the air because that's important. So we're gonna talk a little bit about the generation gap. I'm still accepting that I'm not 26, so this will probably be completely shocking for me the whole time. But I guess one good question is, what do you see, Casey, as the generation gap? What do you see, or where does it come out the most for you?
I see a lot of frustration generally with the older generations. Not the majority even, but just a lot of people trying to understand the younger generations, but I don't know, the communication barrier or something just gets in the way, and I don't know. it seems like that's a constant thing that I see happening, where people think they're trying to reach out to younger generations and trying to understand how they think, and just getting angry.
So what do you think is the quickest way to stop that conversation, to put a halt in it? Like, as soon as, like, when do your eyes glaze over? Is it as soon as someone says, well, back in my day, or is it when they start going in on the music, or where?
Yeah.
What's the quickest exit ramp?
Probably just, like, the whole idea that the liberal views are somehow only in younger generations, and that that hasn't happened every generation ever, that things have changed and women started wearing pants 40 years ago and all that type of thing. And I don't know, I try to just really keep in mind that, like, people forget very quickly how slowly things change and how they were pushing things that their parents didn't understand or their grandmother would have been shocked at.
Right. It's kind of interesting that, like, because of living out in the country, and then, you know, we have this interface with the city down here in San Marcos and a lot more of a kind of fast-paced life, because there's discussions we have back in the country, and there are still systems set up out there that are very antiquated, like insanely so. When I started becoming involved with the library, I went to a couple of the, like, city county meetings that were happening back in our little small towns, and just the sexism was insane.
Oh,
I didn't know that.
It's off the charts
anymore.
And that's what, I don't know, I get really frustrated when people say, like, well, that doesn't happen anymore, that's a myth, or that got abolished, or, you know, anything like that. Like, the whole reason things start changing is because everyone gets involved and starts making a big deal about it and starts advocating for representation and equality. And if you stop doing that at any point, it's just going to backslide.
It really does. I think that we all, kind of as a country... I guess it was a wake up call when we thought that, you know, we kind of overdid it with the whole, hey, we fixed everything because Obama became president. didn't fix a whole lot, and that's a whole other conversation.
And in some areas things got even worse.
And then I think we were resting on our laurels a little bit, or not being as active, not being as involved. And then everybody had this, like, shock when we didn't come out with a result that, like, represents who, like, where we are as a country, who we are as a country. Although I think it's a mistake to say who was elected as president doesn't have anything to do with who we are.
Yeah.
I think it has to. I think it does.
I think it reflects on some kind of disconnect going on, especially between generations, because I feel like some people take their disconnect with younger generations and turn it into anger and turn it into misunderstanding, and then want to push their views even further.
Right.
So then they just get more radical.
Right.
And yeah, I've definitely seen that happen.
It does seem like the last couple of years has done a lot to divide us as a country. I don't see us coming together. I don't see a whole lot of what we're producing, anything to even, like, look at and say, hey, we do, you know, America did this, look at us, look how awesome we are because, you know, this X, Y, and Z thing happened. I mean, there's a couple of stories every once in a while that come across my Facebook page that are amazing about people loving and reaching across aisles and kind of getting past some of the roadblocks that we have set up. But for the most part, the experience seems like it's disconnected. There's a disconnect. There's an unwillingness to be open. And in all the different groups that I belong to, there's this anger, just this underlying anger at all times. And I know that kind of stress on your psyche isn't good, that kind of stress on your work day, you know, isn't good. If we get together with people that we love and we're not talking about loving things, there's just so much life energy that is drained out. And I don't think that we're going to be able to do a whole lot with our with the echo chambers that we've created with our social media groups.
I had to get off Facebook probably about 4 months ago, and I wasn't even really that active. I just kind of lurked around and would post maybe once a week or something.
Yeah.
And it just, it wasn't helpful, and it wasn't right. helping anybody else see right. anything. And
sure.
You know, when you were talking about eyes glazing over, one of the main things for me is, like, I don't think I'm that young, but people always start pulling in, like, well, you know, when you're older, you'll agree with me. And I hate that mentality, because that just erases all of the people that are their age that I know that don't think like them.
Right.
And are compassionate and right. are open about things. And sure. then for them to say, oh, you'll be like me someday, just wait and see. Like,
right.
it just feels like such an insult.
I think that it is. I really think that it is. And it's not even necessarily true. I mean,
yeah.
When I first became, I was the youngest supervisor where I was, we were talking about before. Mm-hmm. And I was the youngest one, and I've always just had a whole lot of energy. I've always had a lot of energy.
Yeah.
And so I brought that to every day at work, and the older, jaded people, I wouldn't say older, because they weren't necessarily older. They just had the job longer than mm-hmm. me. So the more seasoned people were always like, oh, in 2 or 3 years, you know, you won't feel that way. You won't have that same energy.
I hate
Never
that.
Came true. I did it for 7 years. I was always the same amount of bouncy.
Yeah.
And, it was never true. But there's just like this foreboding. And so most of the time I spent just trying not to get that energy on me. I didn't know yeah. where they got it from.
Yeah.
But I wasn't interested in, you know, facing every day with that kind of doldrum, expecting awfulness.
Yeah, it's like they're waiting for you to lose your soul somehow.
Right. And why is that what you're looking forward to?
Exactly.
Why is that your argument? Even if that's what you've seen happen before, why wouldn't you go to the new person and say, hey, maybe you'll be the life force of the energy that's going to keep us going.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, there was just such this expectation of negativity. It was like, it would leave me, it was lackluster for me. It would leave my experience of trying to, like, figure out where this negativity came from and what to do to keep it from kind of invading how I did my job. It just, I don't know, it changed the subject. And it changed the focus to something that's less than what I wanted my experience to be. And I guess I hope that you seem very mature for your age today. First,
I mean,
and I hope that kind of keeps those things at bay, because there are going to be those people who are just melancholy, who just aren't yeah. into the.
Well, and I feel like. With me, like, I know a lot of people have been in a similar situation, but, like, I started working when I was 14 with a very random situation, and I liked the people I worked with, but they were all so stuck in their ways and so sick of being where they were, right. and it was always this, well, you'll be like me someday, and someone had worked yeah. there since she was 14 and she was a grandmother, and I was like, this is horrible. And so I kind of started right off the bat with,
yeah.
oh, I don't want to be like that.
That's scary. You know, sometimes when I'll be in restaurants and I'll look across and see a couple that are older and they're sitting across from the table not talking to each other. They're not mm-hmm. even looking at their phones, just not talking to each
yeah.
other. And I'm like, okay, don't ask them for advice.
Right?
Like, I'm always trying to, like, model myself after yeah. or go after, seek advice from someone who looks happy, who has mm-hmm. good energy about whatever it is. If they're tragically married or tragically working there for 20 years.
Yeah.
If tragically is the adjective to describe
yeah.
how they're doing the thing, I don't want any of their advice.
Yeah.
And I try to ignore, like, almost everything that they say, because somewhere along the line they lost their joy. And
yeah.
that's not what I want my experience.
And I feel like that makes such a huge difference with choosing people to model after. Like, not to model after completely, but to have examples of what you want to be like, to remind yourself that it's possible.
Right.
Because
right.
when I was younger and I got into bands and everything, and I had a lot of friends that were musicians, they were all depressed and almost in their 30s and drinking and smoking and having a horrible time and being yeah. broke all the time. And for a while, like, all that I had to model after was either that or, like, 17-year-olds that were halfway through their college degree and just overachieving everything and on their way to become a doctor. And I was like, well, I'm not that. So I guess this is the only other thing. And it made a huge difference when I started finding other people in general. And those people started becoming, you know, in better places and finding themselves. And it's been amazing to watch that happening.
Right.
But to find examples that are what you want to be like.
Yeah. And if someone, it's not that people can't have bad days or bad years or bad decades, but it's about being around people who are in the bad day, bad week, or bad decade, knowing that there's something else.
Yes.
And they still have the energy to go look for whatever that other thing is.
Exactly.
It's the folks that have kind of like settled and that's it.
Yeah, like, well, this is as good as it's going to get, I guess.
Right, right. That's depressing. It's like, so you're not going to expect anything else from from the different, because you know the thing is that you're driving the ship, so you can steer it any way that you want.
I'm not sure
who I was talking to who was saying like change is like a big ocean liner. I think it was a lady who was here last week, and she was saying, you know, you can go ahead and make change, initiating it and doing it, but it's not like in a bike where you can, you know, just change direction instantly.
Yes,
it's more like an ocean liner, so that change, it just swings around. It takes sometimes miles in order to turn
that
to a different direction.
That is such a great analogy.
Isn't that a great analogy?
Oh, my
God. It's, like, made me feel better about almost everything.
Yeah.
I keep thinking about it and going back to it.
Yeah.
Because it's like, that's right. You've been on, you know, bigger vehicles or in boats. And when they do change, it's, like, this really slow motion. But the point is that it's going in the direction, you know, it's changing direction into where it needs to go.
Yeah.
And maybe it takes a little bit longer, and that's okay.
Yeah, you can't just have a fun movie montage where you start working out and suddenly you're ready for the big game.
That's right. That's right. And that's what movie montages are. They take out all the in-between time, all the times that, you know, that you're nursing your wounds. Like,
yeah. Exactly.
It just, like, very conveniently edits all that out.
Right.
So awesome. Well, that's great. All right, we're going to have one more break that we're going to jump into. And then on the other side of it, we'll chat some more here on Soul Sanctuary. Hey there. So we're back here on the other side of our last break here on Soul Sanctuary. And we're speaking with Casey. We're talking about all kinds of cool stuff, generation gap, and that kind of thing. We were thinking about discussing the different role models that we had to look forward to, or what we expect the world to be based on what we watched growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just saying, like, the women that I had to look up to were like Claire Huxtable and from The Cosby Show, and Julia Sugarbaker from Designing Women. I always wanted to be able to cuss somebody out without using cuss words. Not that great at it. Usually, I usually let at least one or two F-bombs fly. But I'm working on it. I am working on it. So what role models did you look at growing up?
Oh, man. Honestly, this is really sad because I'm trying to think about it.
Yeah.
And I really, I don't know why exactly, but I really didn't have a lot of female role models to really look up to. Like, I had American Girl dolls. Like, I would read American their books and I would be like, oh, they're the coolest. And, you know, they had good messages in general, but, like, they weren't real people either.
They had, like, sad adoption stories, right?
Generally, and they're always, like, they'll have something that they're trying to fix. Like, they'll be trying to save, like, an orphanage or an animal shelter or the rainforest or something, and they're all good messages.
Yeah.
But they're also 11-year-olds that don't have community support, and then suddenly it's there, and, you know, that's...
How interesting. I guess, what would be equivalent to American Girl dolls? Cabbage Patch from when I was...
I don't know.
I don't know.
I have no idea.
I don't know what... I don't know that there was, like, a socially conscious doll.
Yeah.
When I was coming up, I don't remember when. I guess the closest thing that I can think of is the Care Bears. Because they kind of... And the Captain Planet kids.
There you go. Yeah, yeah.
I like them. I like them a lot. I was always kind of crunchy with the planet stuff. So... they were kind of around. I guess it's... Wow, what would be the equivalent of American Girl dolls? I guess that's it. That's why they were invented, I guess, because we didn't... We didn't have that kind of...
Girls didn't get cool books.
And so, what... Well, Oprah was either happening or had happened.
I had a little bit of Ellen, just like a tiny edge of Ellen. Other than that, like, I don't know, as a musician, I had like Haley from Paramore.
Yeah.
But that was like the only, it was a really sad point actually. Like, I didn't have any female artists that I looked up to because I had such this ingrained, well, women aren't good musicians type thing, or like, oh they have to be country singers or pop stars. And somehow that just got into my head that, like, well, you know, women can't be cool, or they don't really sound cool, or they don't write good songs.
Yeah.
And I hate that more than anything.
Sure.
It's so depressing to look back and try to figure out where that even came from, because, you know, my family doesn't think like that, or, you know.
It's good if you had that and you were still able to kind of go and do your own music thing in spite of it. That makes you stronger, right?
I feel like my whole music career started out of spite, almost. At least at first.
I would be remiss if I was to write down all of the things that I started out of spite. Spite is quite energetic and has been. I don't know if that's just an earth sign thing or what, but just tell me I can't do it. I'm like, I can't. What?
I still get mad at, like, I don't know. There were some people in my life that were very influential, and they helped me a lot, and, like, they helped me learn to play guitar and everything like that. But I remember very specifically, they'd tell me, like, well, don't play too many sad songs because people don't like it, and women put too many words in their songs, so don't do that, and, like, all of this stuff. And I'm like, no, I was 16. I can write whatever I want to write. It doesn't matter.
Without all these parameters around it and stuff.
I hate that.
Well, it turns out, I don't know that growing up I remember that many female influences. Well, I had Janet, and I would follow her to the ends of the earth. But then as I got older and looked back to see what influence actually was on me, and I realized that Carole King wrote all of the songs, love songs from the 80s.
Yeah.
They're all hers. And it's all almost the same album, too.
Yeah.
I just went and just picked this lady's stuff and just redid it through dudes, and I realized how amazing and impactful that was. And I tend to really be drawn to songwriters. What is it called?
Singer-songwriters?
There it is.
Yeah, definitely.
Exactly. Because if someone is delivering what they created, there's just an extra layer of depth, I think, to it.
Mm-hmm.
And having written a song, given it to someone else, there's like this intangible thing that you can't give to somebody else that you meant to have in that song.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't successfully. Maybe some people can. but there's like this extra, the umami of the song, you can't really give to somebody to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You can do it yourself.
Yeah.
And so I appreciate that connection. And just the creativity of it is amazing to me.
Yeah.
There's birds looking in my mirror on my car. Just this little vain one. Just keeps staring at himself. Anyway. So who else was there to look up to, females look up to? Oh, well, Aretha was always there with that huge, powerful voice.
Yeah.
And I love the way her art just stretched across genres and races and everything.
Yeah.
Like, the power in her voice was so much that it's just undeniable.
I find myself listening to her still, like, every few days. I'm just like, yep, this is a good day to listen.
So powerful.
Yeah.
And I remember watching the 100 Greatest Voices in Rock and Roll or something, and I was like, who could possibly be number one?
Mm-hmm.
And when they got to Aretha was number one, I was like, ah, there you go. They didn't break it. They went wrong. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
What a powerful gift. I'm so glad that she sang. Like, what if she only ended up working at the Kroger? What if we didn't have that?
Yeah.
It kind of inspires you to make sure that you do whatever you feel like your dharma is, because you might be holding something like that back
exactly.
from the world. Isn't that sad?
Yeah.
I would hate it if we never got to just all the influence for so many years. Amazing. Mm. I did a show about her when she died last year. I could do like six more.
Right.
Because it's just so, just the catalog, the expansiveness. And then her humanitarian work that's a whole show in and of itself. And she wasn't out there, you know, promoting it as much as she was doing it. She you know, really actually did the work and walked the walk. So big.
Mm-hmm.
Such an amazing art. So, anyway, we'll kind of bring this back, we'll bring this horse back into the stable. So if we want to be inspired by your energy and the changes and the texture that you've added to your life here in the last couple of years, we can find you at the Martindale Market, right?
Yeah.
So when are the next couple?
This one's February 22nd.
Right.
And I think March is actually the 22nd too.
But
it's usually always on a fourth Friday unless there's a big holiday or something.
Very good.
On the same day.
And it's generally in the same area, whether it's inside or outside. Yes. Right? I mean, Martindale's only so big.
Yeah, we've cornered it now. Right now for the winter, we're doing indoors at 417 Main Street.
Perfect.
But then for the rest of the time, we just shut down all of Main Street. So it's the only city road in Martindale. It's pretty easy to find.
Perfect. We'll definitely be there. Well, I'm definitely going to be there.
Yes.
This month, and I was last month too. Had a great time. It's really, really great. Interesting readings took place.
We always love having you.
Oh,
I feel like you're
you.
One of the one, like the only vendor that like is specifically there to like bring joy and enlightenment to people, and like something that they're not just buying, you know.
That makes me so happy. Just that checks all of the boxes. Thank you so much for joining me today and coming on a whim.
Yeah.
I'm glad that I had it. It was a great show, so I should follow them more.
I was honored.
Fantastic. And for you Soul Sanctuary soldiers, you know you can join the Facebook page, Soul Sanctuary MMF, like Mary Mary Frank, that's on Facebook. Follow on Twitter and IG. And if you want a reading, go to HiTarot, HaiTarot.com, and set up one for me. I'll be at Martindale Market on February 22nd.
Yeah.
So you can come out and get one in person. And we'll see you next Saturday on Soul Sanctuary. Thanks so much for being here, guys.
Goodbye.